And I know it's a surprise to some people that God speaks to us today, but he does. Some people believe he only spoke in the Old Testament to individuals, but that's not the way it is. We should be hearing from God on a regular basis. And there's a lot of things that help that, and we've talked about that probably the primary way that God speaks is through our thoughts in our mind. And thoughts in our mind come from two or three different sources. They can either come from you, they can come from the devil, they can come from the world, or they can come from the Lord. And you need to be able to discern the voice of the Lord. And the only way I know to do that is be in the Word of God. And then you can discern the voice of the Lord, because there are a lot of things the Bible doesn't talk about that you do on a daily basis. So therefore, you need to hear from God about these matters and about these things. And so we need to know the way the Spirit of God speaks to us, and that's extremely important. So let's go to John chapter 7 and verse 38, and we find out something very interesting, because Jesus made a promise. If you're a Christian today, Jesus made a promise to you that you can take on a daily basis. John chapter 7, verse 37, I'll start with. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit at that particular point hadn't been given, but it was given at Pentecost, as you know, because Jesus was not yet glorified. How do we know that Jesus Christ was glorified at the right hand of the Father? Because the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus said, "Anyone that believes on me, the Scripture says." So it's in the Word of God. It's in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. "He that believes on me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." It's interesting that every place Jesus is, there's rivers of living water. He even talks about in the new heaven and new earth, and there'll be rivers of living water. In the millennial temple, there'll be rivers of living water. And this is always a picture of the flow of the life of God as the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit flows in your life like a river. And God wants us to partake of that river, to take in those things of the Holy Spirit, to listen to God, and realize that many times that voice of God is like the bubbling up of a river or a stream. And it's God speaking. It's very quiet. If you ever been by a small stream and everything was quiet, and as you hear the water go by, you hear this little bubbling and the water moving, and that's moving inside of you on a 24-hour basis if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. So the thing is, as we fix our eyes upon Jesus, and we should be doing that, when we're singing in the praise and worship, when we're listening to the preaching of the word, whatever we're doing, we fix our eyes upon Jesus, then we're tuning in to that river of life flowing through us, and then we can get the very words and right in the very thoughts of our own mind. That's the way God works. So he works other ways too. We talked about this. He speaks through angels. He speaks through prophets. He speaks through the written word of God. He speaks in various ways. But the point is that God's available to speak to us. And incidentally, we got a word already this morning. Somebody's going through a very difficult situation, and they are confused. But God said, if you are quiet, except speaking the word of God, you'll get through this and come out the other side better than you were before. And I wanted you to know that. Now, God's interested in you. He's interested right now in what you're thinking. He's interested right now in what you're going to be doing after you leave this service. God's interested in your life, and he wants to speak to you about these things. Now, God gave us his law, but we weren't just to live out of the laws of God. The laws of God were to protect us from the enemy. We've talked about this. That's why he gave the laws of God. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, actually. Thou shalt not honor your father and your mother and so on. All those things were designed to protect us from the enemy, because when we violate the law of God, we open the door to the enemy in our life. It's just that simple. It's not really complicated at all. God said, I gave you these laws to keep you within certain boundaries to protect you from the enemy. But on the other side of it, God is speaking to us things that he wants us to live by on a daily basis. Now, the thing that hinders us many times from hearing God is, number one, we don't fix our eyes upon Jesus, and number two, we've developed this little religious box that we're comfortable in, and we don't want anything to mess it up. And if you, this can be a denomination, it can be just your own laws that you've made up in your own mind. The Pharisees had hundreds of laws, and they had such a religious box that they'd put themselves in that they wouldn't step out of, that they didn't recognize Jesus Christ when he came. Can you imagine? And you can set up a bunch of, I call them religious rules, in your life that will hinder you from hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ. The very same thing the Pharisees did. We all have a tendency to do it. Every group has their own ideas and their own laws and all these things. And some of them aren't bad, but the issue is don't let them box you in where you can't hear from God. And so sometimes that happens. Laws are good, but the Holy Spirit must be there to bring life into your little box that you put together. Now, God's going to bring up things that many times we forget. You can't remember it all. And sometimes when you need something from God, he'll bring up a scripture. He'll bring up something into your thought life. And so you have to be able to hear from God and know that it's God. And so on. If you're not sure, ask a Christian friend you can trust whether they think it's from God or not. And so we have to be very, very careful not to live in a box that doesn't allow us freedom in Christ. We have people in this world that would like to put the whole world in a box. They would like to box up this world in a one-world government that they can control, and it's all a matter of control. And it's the same way with the enemy. He wants to put you in a box that he can control your life. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you life, and I'm going to give you more abundantly. I'm going to be speaking to you so that you know and can make the right decisions and so on. One of the problems with these religious boxes is very simply this, that we have a tendency to criticize everybody that's not in your box. Do I hear an amen? That's true. That's what we do. And Christians, one of the things that Satan has done has gotten Christianity to divide itself up into a lot of little boxes who are criticizing each other, and therefore people are not hearing from God, and we get into a mess like we're in this country right now where we have leadership and have had leadership for a long time that do not know God. Are you listening? And so I don't want to get into all that, but the issue is we have to be careful the way we think and what we focus on in this life. Now, the Holy Spirit's here to help us. Now, I want to just say this. Jesus came the first time as a lamb. I say Jesus came the first time as a lamb. And that's the way we are to greet people, as a lamb of God. Are you listening? There's time to be a lion. There's times when we should be a lion in the family of God. But the issue is we're supposed to come first as a lamb. Somebody said you get more bees with honey. Isn't that right? And that's exactly the way it is. But when you're in a, I'll tell you how you know you're in a box, when you criticize everybody doesn't agree with you. Are you listening to me? I can love Christians that don't agree with me on things, or I don't agree with everything on them. Well, I can still love them. Are you listening to me? Whether they're in my box or not, that doesn't make any difference. And there has to be a balance in the Christian life between love and mercy and judgment. Love, mercy, and judgment. There should be a balance in those things. And Jesus, I'm happy to say, is perfectly balanced. You see, but he always comes first in love. If God speaks to you, he's going to speak to you first in love. And if he tells you something to do and you don't do it, he may come the second time and still show some mercy. But the third time, he may come as the lion of the tribe of Judah, if you understand what I'm saying. But the issue is, we have a tendency to come as the Lion of Judah to everybody that's outside of our box, and we have a tendency to judge them when we should be loving them into truth. Do I hear an amen? Now, let's go to Matthew 23:23 in the Word. Somebody said we're in the Word of God too much. Amen, hallelujah. All right, Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are justice, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done and not left the others undone. He said, you Pharisees are following the law, and that's a good thing, but you should be doing these other things also, and that's showing some mercy and some faith and some justice in people's lives. And so that's what we have to be very careful. We don't become so critical that nobody wants to listen to us, and we're not going to lead anybody to Jesus Christ. So sometimes we need to just plain love people where they're at and love them into the kingdom of God. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now that's the way it is. And some of us don't do that very well, if we're honest about it. And we have a tendency to judge people, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. All right. We need to be, sometimes people just need somebody to come alongside and lift them up a little bit. Are you listening to me? Not push them down with criticism. Lift them up with the love of God. That's what some people need, and that's what we should be able to do, and that's what we should be doing. Instead of being, we ought to be the lover of the brethren instead of the accuser of the brethren. Are you listening to me? And that's what we need to be doing. And this is one of the things that hinder people from hearing God is doing the devil's work instead of the Lord's work. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes people just need somebody to hold their hand through the situation. Put their arm around them through the situation instead of condemning everything they're doing. There'll be a time for that. There'll be a time for instruction. There'll be a time to instruct somebody on the right thing. But sometimes somebody just needs somebody to hold them for a while. Are you listening to me? And that's a very important thing. Look in Revelation 12:10. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Mark these scriptures, and you can meditate on them later. But Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And I'm here to tell you that the accuser of the brethren is always going to be cast down. And that's so you have to be careful. Who accused them before our God day and night. There's somebody that's accusing you before God day and night. You don't have to accuse yourself. Satan's doing a pretty good job of it. And so the issue is you need to be blessing yourself and moving in the right direction in these things. Some Christians accuse, have a stance of the accuser of the brother instead of the stance of the loving of Christ. And so that's not a good thing. Aren't you glad you came today? Amen. All right, now, there's enough out there accusing the brethren. We need to be encouraging the brethren. We need to be lifting up the brethren. We need to be loving the brethren. We need to be learn how to love people, and it starts at home, of course. You see. Now, you know what the Holy Spirit does? You know one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to come alongside somebody and help them. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside and he lifts up and he's helped. John 14:16. We'll take a quick look at it here today. John chapter 14 and verse 16. All right. It says, "And I will pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter that he may be with you for how long?"
Forever.
For how long?
Forever.
Forever. The Holy Spirit's not going to leave you. Satan might leave you. We hope he does. But the Holy Spirit will never leave you or forsake you. That's what the Word of God says. Neither will Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, God's not up there looking for things to accuse you of. Some people think that's the way he is. God's not looking for something to accuse you of. He's looking for something to bless you. That's what God does. There'll be a time for the accusations. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's called, and those various things. But God's not up there doing that right now. He came as a lion. As a lamb, but he's going to come as a lion. But he came as a lamb. And that's the way we are to do in this life. We don't want to be as he is. Now, I want you to look in Matthew 18:21. There's a very interesting story and that Jesus told. Matthew 18:21. Now, I'm looking these up same time you are, so 18:21. And this is a story, of course. Peter came to the Lord and he said, in verse 21, "How many times shall I forgive my brethren?" Seven times. And Jesus said, "No, 70 times seven." And now he's going to tell a little story about a guy that owed a king some money. In verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like a certain king who had taken account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought who owed him 10,000 talents." That's about 10 years' wages. You can figure that out. "But forasmuch as he had nothing which to pay, his Lord commanded he be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." So the king said, "You owe me all this money, you can't pay it." And back in those days, when that happened, you were sold into servitude for a number of years. And that's what happened to you. They had half the world was in slavery back in the time of Jesus. And one of the reasons was that if they didn't pay their debts, they didn't get a government bailout. They got a servitude in somebody's house for a number of months or years. "And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, for I'll pay you all." Now, of course, the king here was the Lord, and this gentleman owed the Lord, and probably all that sinning had been done all those years. And the Lord was moved with compassion. Can you imagine? All this money, all this guy had done. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you've done in life, God will move with compassion if you call upon him. Satan will accuse you and say you're not worthy, but God will give you compassion. I don't care what it is or how much it was. God can save anybody. Nothing's impossible with God. Let's say that. Nothing is impossible but with God. And that's a fact. We got to start looking at things the way God does instead of the way the things that Satan does, you see. And so he fell on his face. He worshiped him, saying, "And have patience, I'll pay you." The Lord was moved with compassion, forgave him the debt. Now, that's like a Christian getting saved. All the debt of his life up to the time of salvation is forgiven. Totally forgiven. Never to be mentioned again by God. You might remember it. Satan might bring it up, but God will not, because it's covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, this guy come dancing out of that place. I mean, he was just thrilled. He'd been forgiven totally. I mean, the Lord was good. Hallelujah. Yeah, here. And then look what he did, though. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a whole lot less, laid hands on him, took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down on his feet, besought him the same way that he had besought the Lord. Have patience with me, I'll pay you all, but he wouldn't do it. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Totally different than the way he was treated by the Lord. And we have to be careful that we don't treat people worse than we were treated by the Lord. Are you listening to me? I don't care what denomination they are or anything else. Doesn't make any difference. But his fellow servants went and told on him. And so the king grab this guy. The Lord was angry in verse 34. Now he's the Lion of Judah. Delivered him to the inquisitors. And what that really means is he delivered him because this guy had opened the door to demonic powers. And that's exactly what this means. You open the door to the devil when you take on the judgment that's only reserved for God himself. And likewise, he said, his heavenly Father will do to you also if from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother his trespasses. And one of the worst things that will keep you from hearing from God is not forgiving your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking about the whole church of God. I'm talking about the worldwide church of God. And somebody says, I just don't understand why I don't hear from God. And they're just going out there just, that person over there, they claim to be a Christian. Look what they're doing. And just giving them the business, you know, instead of loving them. We ought to be praying for people we think are doing the wrong thing. We need to be praying for our government. We need to be praying for our people that are leading us. We need to be praying for our neighbors. We need to be praying for people that are doing wrong. There's going to be plenty of time for judgment. Are you listening to me? It's coming. Nobody can get away with it. Nobody gets away from with anything in this life. Are you listening to me? They just don't. Now, Bible says woe to people. And the other side of the coin is you don't want to compromise with people in their sin because the Bible says woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And so there's two ways you can go overboard with this thing, and Satan doesn't care which way it is. One of them is to accuse everybody in sight, and the other one is to excuse everybody in sight. You see. Either one of them doesn't make any difference to the devil, just as long as you're doing one of them or the other. And so, you know, the word devil means accuser. So we have to be careful who we accuse of what, really. And so the expression of the Holy Spirit is to comfort. The expression of the devil is to accuse. So if things are coming out of our mouth that are accusing all the time, guess whose team we're on? I didn't say you're lost going to hell. I just said, you have the very personality of the devil himself. Boy, it got quiet in here. Galatians 6:1, you said you come alongside people and help them. Now, if they're going to continue acting like the devil and they don't want to ever change, there's a time to give up on it. But usually we give up way too soon. And the second thing is we go at these things in the wrong way. Now, we're supposed to come alongside. And that means you take them and you help them. You ever watch a football game, somebody gets hurt out on the field, and they can't get off the field by themselves. There's two or three guys go out there and help them off the field. That's exactly the way that you should do, and you will hear from God. Don't you believe if you're helping God's people, he's going to be talking to you? Don't you believe he's going to tell you what to do to help people in their life? Now, you see, our problem is if we're so self-centered in ourselves, God's not going to tell you how to help somebody else. You're cutting out some of the Word of God. You're cutting out a lot of it. And you see. Now, what about rules and regulations and boxes in your life and all these things? These things just keep hurting us so that we can't be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Go to Galatians 3:23. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23. Okay. Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were all kept under the law. We were shut up unto the faith which should afterwards should be revealed. Wherefore, with the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law has a place. The law is always designed to bring you to Christ, because if you're having problems with one of the laws, you have to come to the Lord and ask his help. And so the law always brings you to Christ. So the law is good. But we're not supposed to be the law to somebody else. We're supposed to be God to somebody else. We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to encourage them. We're supposed to lead them. And then there's going to be a time to instruct them. I don't know about you. There's times in my life where I needed instruction. Are you listening? But I'm going to tell you, I would be more likely listen to somebody instruct me that I knew loved me and cared about me and wanted the best for me than somebody that's accusing me all the time. I'm not going to listen to that person. Are you listening? And if you want to be able to instruct somebody, you're going to have to come in and hold them up. You're going to have to come in and bless them. You're going to have to come in and encourage them, because, they're not going to listen to us. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, rely on the grace of God, start loving people into the kingdom of God. Now, you need to approach it in love. Yeah, but our homes will be a lot quieter if we approach things in love instead of accusing. Don't you believe that? The fact is, we're Christians. We're supposed to be approaching these things like God. So we have to rely on his grace. The Bible says that God's the author and the finisher of our faith. So if he's going to finish our faith, he's going to have to instruct us and talk to us on how to finish our faith, and he can do it through the written word, but he also does it through the spoken word. Whether it's through instruction, whether it's from another person, or whether it's thoughts in your mind, you have to keep listening to God. Now, I was going to ask, how many people really, since I started this, are hearing from God more than they were before? Raise your hand up high. Let's see. Look around, folks. You see? I've been talking about this for quite a while. And so the point was that if we hear it often enough, eventually we're going to get it. That's the way I learn it. I get it over and over and over and over again. And so we need to hear that we need to hear from God. Now, Christ always approaches people with love and mercy. He always does. I don't care who it is. He approaches them with love and mercy. can be the worst person you can possibly think of, he'll approach them with love and mercy. Every cruel dictator in this world heard from God at one time in their life. You will find some of them even went to seminaries. But something happened in their life that turned them. But the issue was they heard from God. There is not a child in this world in their right mind that hasn't heard from God. God speaks to children. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." After I got saved, God showed me several times when I was young, when he spoke to me, that I didn't totally understand it at the time. That's before I was a Christian. I could tell you those times today because God took me back to those times and showed me when he was trying to get my attention as a child. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And so that's why it's important. That's why it is so important to teach the Word of God in the schools. And that's the way we used to do it. We taught the Word of God in the schools. What children learn in school makes a tremendous impression on their life. That's why I can remember, I don't think ever started a day in some of my classes in school when we didn't do the pledge to the flag, American flag, and so forth. Why do you do that? It develops loyalty to your country, you see. And that's the things you have in school when you repeat them and you have this repetitive thing going all the time. It puts in the mind of the kids whatever you're teaching them, whatever they're saying, whatever they say together, whatever songs they sing, and all that kind of thing. But there's coming a time now where they don't even want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, you see. And so the same thing in our own lives. We have to understand how Jesus Christ works. He always approached people with love and mercy the first time. He kept saying to Israel, you know, the first time he came to Israel as a lamb, the second time he's going to come as a... That is correct. But he came first as a lamb. Those people put him on a cross. It's absolutely amazing. But he gave his life for them. But the second time, he's going to come as a lion. And that's what the way we are to do. We're to come as a lamb to people, to encourage them and hopefully. Look in John 8 and verse 3. John 8 and verse 3. Well, if you're listening, say amen. Amen. All right. John chapter 8 and verse 3. And this says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman." I want you to see this. I don't know how you and I would have been if we'd been in the crowd. You might think about that. But if you want to see the heart of God, this story really tells it like it is. "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst," there was a mess, one woman and probably a whole bunch of men. And right in the middle of the scribes and the Pharisees, all these guys in their religious box. And Christ was there and they didn't even know who he was because of their religious box. Religion always says you can get to heaven by your works. Christ showed us that you get to heaven through Christ. Now, so here's a scene, I'll tell you. All these guys, and they're dressed pretty good, and they're the religious guys, and there's some others around. And they come dragging this woman down the street. Jesus having a Bible study. And they drag this woman, and they throw her right in the middle of the whole group. in the dirt. And he said unto him, Master, that's why he called him a hypocrite. He wasn't their master. And this woman was taken in adultery, and the very act makes you kind of wonder how that was accomplished. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, testing him that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote in the ground, as though he heard them not. And everybody's got their ideas on what he wrote. I've heard some of them, he wrote the names of those that have done the same thing, or maybe the names of those that had been involved with this woman. I don't know. When they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto him, I love this. He that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Let me tell you what they wanted to do. There wasn't really anybody in the crowd that hadn't sinned. And this woman was caught in adultery, so they wanted to stone her to death right in the street, right in the middle of this Bible study. They wanted to stone her to death. And he stooped down, he wrote on the ground again, and they who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. So here you have two people, the Lord and the woman. And you would think Jesus is going to be all over her case. Because you understand, he knew the name of every single person that had ever been with her. And you would have thought he had done two or three things here. Number one, he would have wrote down all the names of everybody that had ever been with her and accused them. And then he wrote down all of her sins and mentioned all of that. And went through the whole thing. It probably would have taken a while. But Jesus lifted himself up and he looked around and he said, Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man accused you? And I love this next statement. And you ought to post this on your refrigerator, bathroom mirror, wherever. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I. Oh, what a Savior. She never left his side, hardly ever, for the rest of her days that he was on the earth. But he gave her instruction. He said, Go and sin no more. Why did he tell her that? To give her a hard time? Don't open the door anymore to the enemy. He's done enough damage in your life. Don't do that anymore. You couldn't keep him away from her. The rest of the time he was on this earth. And I'm telling you that Jesus came to die for her. Give his life for this woman who had slept with all these men, not being married. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we have. And what he wants is for us to be as he is in this world. He wants us to be that way. And we should be extremely careful of who we accuse of anything. Because that's the accuser's job, not ours. Ours is to love them, to forgive them. I'm telling you how to be free in this life. We may all be slaves of somebody one of these days, but I'm going to tell you this. If you understand this principle, you'll still be free. Are you listening? You'll still be free. There are people that are not free today who are not in slavery, but they're not free because they're accusers of the brethren. And because of that, they open the door to the enemy, and he is a terrible slave master. You see. And so it's very careful what we say out of our mouth. And I'm talking about hearing from God, believe it or not. Unforgiveness will keep us here from hearing from God. We ought to be the most loving people in the history of the world. You see. I want you to look at a little book in the Old Testament. I'll give you a little time to find. It's called Micah. Go to Micah it's after Jonah. Yeah, right, exactly. It's right after Jonah. Go to Micah. Chapter 6 and verse 3. I'm going to quit here in a minute. Micah chapter 6 and verse 3. Micah 6, 3 said, O my people, what have I done unto you? And what have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of servants. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. The Lord here is telling them what he had done for them. And he was very balanced in the whole thing. And he was trying to get them to follow him, but he comes to them and he doesn't come as a lion. He said, do this or I'm going to wipe out the whole bunch of you. You know, it's kind of interesting. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 20 years and they drove the Lord crazy, if I can put it that way. Every 5 minutes they want to go back and eat watermelon. I can't imagine that, but that's what they... We want the leeks and the onions and the watermelons. And they were in slavery back there. Had no rights whatsoever. I almost said something I shouldn't have said there. Well, I'll say it anyway. They were being taken care of by the state. But God said, I brought you out of that. I brought you out of that. And all they did was complain for 20 years in the wilderness. And they probably wondered why they didn't hear from God. They heard from him all right. After 20 years, he said, okay, that's it. The lion showed up. And a whole bunch of them died except for two people. Because they were taking on the work of the devil instead of the work of the Lord. God didn't put us on this earth to follow a whole bunch of rules. He put us on this earth to follow him. Are you listening to me? He put us on this earth to follow him. And if you follow him, you won't have to worry about the rules because He fulfilled them. Every single one of them. And I think we get this all mixed up. And the devil is in there. Israel, who was God's people, every time a prophet showed up, they eventually stoned him to death. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came and said, all you are is those that stone the prophets. They didn't stone Jesus. They nailed him to a cross. But I'm going to tell you, it's worth the chance to be stoned and nailed to the cross to love people like Jesus did. That's what I'm saying. Stones many times are words. They didn't really see. You know, Jesus' own brother didn't recognize him. It's really amazing. They didn't recognize who he was till after he died. Rose from the dead. Neither did we. I'm just going to tell you a couple things. I'm going to close. This is the most amazing thing. I want you to hear this. In 1900, God began to restore the truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues in 1900 in the United States. Some Pentecostals found their homes and churches burned by other Christians. In the 1940s, Oral Roberts introduced a physical healing into the life of the Christians. Christians began to find power through the Holy Spirit over sickness and disease, and he was terribly, terribly criticized by other Christians. 1950, Kenneth Hagin taught the place of faith and power could be released by confessing the Word of God over every situation. He was terribly criticized by other Christians and churches. 1960, Derek Prince introduced to the church deliverance from demonic powers. He was tremendously criticized by other Christians. Paul Youngie Cho, pastor of the world's largest church, developed a church of 750,000 people after giving away thousands to other churches by introducing cell groups into the church. And he was terribly criticized as being divisive by other Christians. How can we be in the flow of this river of God that God promised that every single one of us have when we receive Christ as our Savior, and that river of God is flowing in us and out through us? And how can we partake of that? I can just say this, you have to be like Christ. Let's stand before the Lord.